want you to turn tonight in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, chapter number 2, and hang on there for a little bit. Before we begin tonight, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for what our ears have heard thus far and the praise that we can give with our lips. And Lord, I pray that as we open your book tonight that you might do work in our hearts. Help us to understand a very vital truth. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Title of my message tonight is, Lord, Help Me to See. The psalmist said, Open thine or mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Hey, what's the first thing that a kid does when they walk in a room? They turn the light switch on. Yeah, they want to see where they're going. I have seen kids walk into our gymnasium and turn on all four switches, and not quite as much electricity goes through that, but you know what we did have over there used as much electricity in those 12 bulbs as this entire building over here. And it was, and they would just turn on all four lights, walk to the bathroom, and leave. And what does a kid never do when they leave the room? Turn off the lights. I think it's a qualification for being a kid. I'm not sure. You know, we want to see where we're going. Amen? When we first got married, my wife and I, we moved to Pontiac, Michigan. We lived in a little apartment upstairs. It was a furnished apartment, and it was home, but it was not quite like when we was able to rent a duplex. And it was more like our own house. We weren't going in the same front door as the lady downstairs, though she was a marvelous lady, knew the Lord, and we loved her. But we moved into this duplex. And I only lived, I think, about 5-6 blocks from Pontiac Motors. And so I'd drive to work. Matter of fact, our parking lot took me longer to get through that than to get to it. And I worked the second shift. I'd go in at 3:30, get off at midnight. And when I come home from work at midnight, I learn something very quickly. Turn on the light. Because the furniture may have changed places. Not so much anymore, but in those days, it seemed like every week she would move the furniture around. And so she could clean under it and all those nice things. And it was okay, except for I walk in and bang into it if I didn't turn the light on. We like to see where we're going, amen? There are four doctrines concerning the Word of God, which is God's light to you and I. One of those we would call revelation. That is when God conveys His truth to a man. It's been revealed. That's a marvelous thing. There's also inspiration. It's the ability to accurately convey the truth of that revelation. In other words, God gives to men the ability to write down His very words that we might be able to read them. You say you believe that God gave them the exact words, don't you? If it's His word, then who in the world's words are they? They are God's. And so, yes, I believe inspiration is exactly that. Then I believe there's another doctrine that we look at. It's called preservation. And it allows us to access God's Word forever. Because the Word of God that was given back in the early days of Christianity, when it was 0, and then 1 and 2 and 3 A.D., I mean, the words that came forth then, they are still with us yet today. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. And so you and I, we have that Word. But there's another doctrine as we think about the Word of God, and that is the doctrine of illumination. Illumination. It simply means giving light. The Holy Spirit of God, I believe, is in charge of enlightening mankind as to the meaning of the Scriptures. After all, He wrote them. If you look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and I'm going to read the first about 14 verses or so. Chapter 2, he says, And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I claimed those verses many, many years ago as a minister of the gospel. Notice verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of God, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, notice this, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Do you not take comfort in that? Verse 10, but God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit, notice capitalized, Holy Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might, what's that word? Know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. God uses the Holy Spirit of God to move upon men's hearts to write down the words of God. He keeps those words forever and preserves them, that when we pick them up and we read them, the Holy Spirit of God can then once again cause those words to illuminate our hearts and our minds. I believe it's the greatest doctrine concerning the Word of God that there is. That's just a personal opinion, but it is giving light to the Scriptures. Thank God for that. Without illumination, we will never understand God's Word. That's why before you were saved, you couldn't understand it. Why? Because the Spirit of God wasn't living inside. But when you got saved, the Spirit of God came in, and now you can begin to understand His Scripture. What a wonderful privilege that is. It's impossible for the lost man to understand God's Word. I believe when we go to the Scripture, it talks about throwing our gems before the swine, that what He's trying to teach us is that the lost world cannot understand the marvelous things of God. Illumination, as we think about it, it's not inspiration. It's wholly wrong to say that God gave me a revelation. He illuminates things, and thus it reveals to me, but not in the sense of a writer who has the Word of God revealed and then inspired. Inspiration was to the penman. Illumination is for the reader. Today we find there are a number of folks who stand in the pulpit and say, God told me. Well, the Spirit of God can teach us, but be careful where we're going with that. Illumination is not interpretation. Interpretation is really the translation of an incomprehensible message into an understandable message. We find something in the book of Daniel that's very interesting. As he's called before Belshazzar, and they want him to make known to him the interpretation. They had seen the handwriting on the wall, and it said, many, many, Tekel, Upharsin. And Daniel then said, this is the interpretation of the thing. Many, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. And Peres, the kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. What was Daniel doing? Daniel was interpreting. He was taken from one language unto another one. By the way, the process whereby that takes place can be very complicated. And it needs to be done with some principles in mind. By the way, that's why our missionary Steve Ziner is so important to our missionaries, to help those who are translating to understand those principles. Now you know, and I know tonight, there's a vast difference between God and us. And we know that there's a great gulf of ignorance that separates us. Isaiah wrote of this in chapter 59. He says, "But your iniquities have separated you," or separated between me. Excuse me, I can't even talk right tonight. Can't read right. "I have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear." God is completely holy. Amen. The Old Testament, the New Testament refer to it over and over again. We are holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, sinful in our nature and in our action. We do not have to give classes on how to sin. It comes naturally and normally. And so no wonder we find from the Word of God, God saying something like he did to Isaiah, for you and I to read. He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." By the way, if you don't understand something about God, the Holy Spirit can help us understand, but we're never going to completely understand God. He is so much greater than we are. So much greater. No matter how hard we try, we cannot achieve the thought level of God. And yet we need to. Yet we need to allow God to work in our hearts in these areas. We are in the dark and desperately need illumination. 1 Corinthians 4:4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath what? Blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them." In Ephesians 4:18 says, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." That is a picture of you and I as we're blind to the things of God, and we need illumination. But we find it's the goal of Satan to keep us in the dark. Again in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3, it says, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." How we need to, as David did, pray, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Wow. Today, Christians, rather than praying and asking God for that, seek someone else to reveal God's truth. We run to teachers, we run to books. And by the way, nothing wrong with that, because God teaches us for both. But ultimately, no matter who's teaching or what book we read, he is the one that has to reveal its truth to us. No matter what's said from a pulpit, if we are not allowing the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts, it will be worthless to us. We'll walk out the same way we walk in. If we don't allow the Spirit of God to cause his word to be illuminated in our hearts as we read it, we will put it down without having any addition to our heart and our soul. In John 16:13, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. I've had people ask me, how can I understand the Bible better? That's the answer. The Holy Spirit is the one who can guide you. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Again, God saved your soul. If you're saved tonight, the Holy Spirit of God entered into your life. And one of the things the Holy Spirit of God wants to do in your life and mine is illuminate to us the marvelous Word of God. Something's interesting as we look here in the Word of God, because John chapter 5, 39, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are which testify of me." Go to the book of Acts in chapter 17, verse 11. It says, "They were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." What's interesting is the verse that follows. It says, "Therefore, because they had searched the Scriptures, because they had opened themselves to the marvelous Spirit of God to show them the Word of God," it says, "therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few." Marvelous what takes place when you and I allow the illumination of God to work in our lives. I'm going to stop and think for just a few moments about, let's look at this room. About a year ago, there was some thoughts that were made. I remember, first of all, I didn't even realize it. Nick came to me and says, "We got a problem in our bathroom with the sinks." And I began to look at that and talk to some others and so forth. And, well, out of that, it just kind of evolved. But everybody kind of got on board, and we ended up remodeling the bathrooms. And I don't know how it took place. I don't remember. But we changed the lighting in here. And so now we have new lighting. The old's still hanging up there. Not sure what we're going to do with it. Anybody want a free 8-foot long? Climb up there and take it down. It's yours. Right? But you know, when you're going to do something, you're going to build a building, if you're going to do something that's going to light it up, it's going to take some effort. Amen? And I want to think about that for a moment, because if you and I are going to be illuminated in our hearts, our minds, is it much not the same as seeking to light the room that we are in? You see, it's more than walking in as a child does and flipping the switch, because long before that ever took place, there needed to be somebody that desired for that room to have light. There had to be a desire for it. And if you and I tonight are going to gain from the Word of God, there must be a desire for it. If one is content with darkness, there's not going to be a desire for it. It is because of desire tonight that we have electric lights. In my youth, we had neighbors who didn't want them. And though everybody round about them had electricity and had lights burning, they still burned kerosene in their lanterns in their house if they wanted light. What took place? People wanted to be able to see what was taking place. And what did it do? It brought about electric lights. It's a desire to get to places that men have built boats, roads and vehicles, along with planes and trains. It's desire to save time with menial tasks that we have brought about into existence, computers and all sorts of appliances. I mean, ladies, if there's something to be done in the kitchen, you can buy an appliance that will tell you it can be done. And there's all sorts of tools. I'm amazed since the days that I did some of the building around here at the tools that are available. And had it been me a few years ago putting these lights in, I would have had to drill a little hole and put a saw up there and go around it with a saw. But now they had a drill that actually did the thing, the exact size. Just marvelous. Somebody made something to do the job that needed to be done. What was it all? Why did it come about? Because there was desire. Our lighting in this room came out of desire to have something more efficient and less costly to operate. And there must be that desire. Secondly, if we are going to have the Holy Spirit of God illuminate to us, not only we need to desire that, we need to plan for it. Say, what do you mean, preacher? Plan for it. Whatever it is we want to accomplish, we must first plan for it. We must discover how and when to do the job, along with having the proper tools and materials available. That takes some work as you seek to plan out something. God had a plan even before He built the heavens and the earth. And that plan was to send to us a Redeemer. You and I had our salvation plan before we ever sinned against Him. If we want the light of God, we must desire it and plan for it. In other words, we need to allocate some time and some study. We must gather together the materials to help us to do that. Of course, we need a Bible, do we not? I think we also need, perhaps secondly, a dictionary. Perhaps thirdly, what we need is to have some paper available that we can write down our thoughts. We may want to have some sort of commentary available. And by the way, that's just the comments of somebody else. They wrote theirs down and sold it to you. I've discovered something about commentaries. If there's a scripture that you have a problem with and don't understand it, you open up your commentary. He didn't either, because nothing is said. But the Holy Spirit of God knows. Amen. So we need to plan for it. We need to desire it, plan for it. Set aside the time that is that we can do these kinds of things. And then, this is very simple, work at it. Work at it until the job is done. But we've got to work at it. If we're going to get the illumination by the Spirit of God, then we must read the textbook He's given us. I find perhaps the number one problem among God's people in their lack of knowledge of the Word of God is they've not read it. I get excited when somebody comes to me and tells me something that they read and what they got from it. Marvelous that is. If we're going to get illumination by the Spirit of God, we've got to read the textbook. By the way, there's a thing called study in regards to this. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. But there's something very unique about study. When you go to the book of Ecclesiastes, you read that study is a weariness to the flesh. Somebody says, what do? I tell them, I'm a pastor. You know what their first thought is? You're on vacation most of the time. Well, let them think what they want to think. Listen, when you're enjoying doing what you're doing, it is vacation. And, it's marvelous, to tell you the truth. And my daughter told me the other day, Dad, you remember back last fall when you said you had plenty of money for anything? Somehow she thought I meant I was rich. But I have found that whatever I need, God supplies. Amen. But we find study here is something that you and I need to have, but it is a weariness to the flesh. It's the weakness of the flesh that keeps us from study. Isn't that interesting? And so there must be within our soul determination. It's interesting to me that a lot of young guys today, a lot of gals too, they want to have bodies that are fit, and they want muscle definition. Muscle definition. What do you call these muscles right here? The guys stand with these arms out. What do you call those muscles? Huh? Somebody said something. Flats? Lats. I had one inserted. I stand in front of the mirror now. I got a lat. I've been lopsided most of my life, so just well keep at it. But they want those definition. I hear about the six-pack where those muscles ripple. Mine ripple too. But if you're going to have muscle definition, there needs to be determination. Amen? If you and I are going to have this spiritual definition, we must exercise. Now it's interesting that Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come." We get excited about, you know, how our bodies look and forget about how our soul looks to God. It takes determination to study because it's hard work. The flesh, it will get weary. But the Spirit of God wants to illuminate His Word. I believe it comes in just three things, very simple. When we desire it, when we plan for it, and when we work at it. You say, doesn't He just open up the mind and dump it in? No. You got to open the mind up so He can. That means we've got to want to. That means we need to plan for it, and it's going to be tough work to do so. Study will be one of the hardest things you ever do in your life, but it will bring the greatest of results. God wants to illuminate His Word to you. Sometimes people say, "Preacher, how do you get that out of Scripture?" Well, first of all, you read it several times. And then you allow the Holy Spirit of God to make it real to you. Sometimes you just got to stay your mind upon it and allow God to do those things. His Word is rich and marvelous. Amen? It is so full. I still get excited about it. Matter of fact, more than ever, tell you the truth. Because it is a marvelous book that teaches about life. Amen? Whew. How we ought to be thankful for it. Allow that to do it in your life, not just in church. Don't depend on me. Don't depend on some book. Don't depend on some devotional. But read the Word of God and let Him illuminate that in your heart and your mind. Amen? Allow Him to do it. Now let me tell you, after it's done, don't keep it secret. You can know when you really got it when you can tell somebody else what you got. Amen? Pretty simple. So desire it, plan for it, work at it, and then tell it to somebody else. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank You for this book that is so marvelous and the truth that's there. Thank You, O God, that You can illuminate our hearts and minds even about this subject of illumination. How marvelous and how wondrous it is that Your Spirit can open up our spirit to the things of God. Lord, we're thankful tonight that You caused our spirit to be enlivened as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and that thus Your Spirit can bear witness with our spirit and give to us those marvelous, marvelous truths. Lord, I pray that somehow the hunger, the desire for those things would grow and intensify. Lord, I pray somehow that You would help me to help people to just get really hungry for the Word of God. Bless and work in our lives. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. As we stand tonight, I've not preached to the lost, but you might need the Lord. But if you're saved tonight, if you've not been allowing the Spirit of God to illuminate His Word in your life, you need to step out of your seat. You don't have to, but there's something about humbling ourselves. You need to step out of your seat. walk down here and bend your knee, bow your head, and ask God to forgive you, and then tell Him, I'm going to do that. Create a bigger desire, oh God. Show me the plan for it, that you might reveal yourself. Let God have His way.